You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Alan Poupar, all Dolphins, Sports Illustrated. Miami is a game behind Buffalo at 8-4, making a run towards not only the postseason, but possibly an AFC East division title. How are you, Alan? Thanks for joining us.
How are you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. So let's get this quarterback situation straight. Where exactly Tua Tagovailoa is the starter until he's not, but how do they feel about the dual quarterback situation in Miami?
It's not really a dual quarterback situation in the sense of in the true sense of the word. It's Tua Tagovailoa is the starter. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a very, very good backup to have, not only because he can win games if he has to come in off the bench, but also because he's a veteran who's been around and can help out Tua in a variety of ways in terms of what he's seeing on the field and all of that. So they feel they have the perfect quarterback situation right now, helped by the fact also I should mention that Ryan Fitzpatrick has the perfect temperament, team-first mentality, outlook to serve in his role instead of pouting or ignoring the rookie who basically took his job as he suspected, predicted he would.
But is Tua a true starter in that in other quarterback situations, they're not quick to go to a backup? Does he stay in when he struggles?
Okay, I'm having a bit of a hard time catching you. I think you're asking me if he stays in if he struggles.
Right.
I think unless it gets to a case, as we saw in Denver a couple of weeks back, where the offense really wasn't generating anything with Tua. Tua looked off from the start that day. And the Dolphins were down 20-10 early in the fourth quarter and just needed something, anything to get going on offense. And at that point, Brian Flores made the decision with Fitzpatrick. And lo and behold, the offense actually started showing some spark. They got themselves in a position where they were a touchdown away, until Ryan Fitzpatrick was picked off in the end zone by a very, very good player, all-pro safety or Pro Bowl safety, Justin Simmons, who made a good play on the ball that appeared destined to be a touchdown pass to Devontae Parker. I think you could see a situation where if the Dolphins find themselves trailing, the offense not doing anything, that it's not impossible that Brian Flores would do it again. But it's not a case where if the offense is not going, automatically he'll go to Ryan Fitzpatrick because he has that kind of backup.
So you have a team that, again, 8-4 in the hunt for a postseason, in a hunt for a division title. How did the transition go from Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's doing a good job, but eventually was going to have to cede the position over to Tua, for a rookie to take over a team that had playoff aspirations, that were looking like they were going to be in the fight for the postseason at one point at 3-3?
Well, here's the thing you have to understand about the Dolphins is they're not winning because of their offense. They're winning because their defense has been playing lights out, not so much in terms of the yardage they allow, but in terms of coming up with big plays at key moments, always creating turnovers. 18 straight games dating back to last year that they've forced at least one turnover. A lot of sacks, secondary as good as any in the NFL, which allows them to go crazy with their blitz packages, whether it's showing seven to the line of scrimmage, whether they send however many of those seven after the quarterback. So that's allowed them to do a lot of things. And their special teams also have been outrageous, best in the league, if not top five. So that's what's led them. And right now what they need more than anything, what they've needed, I should say, in the recent string of games was for the offense to make plays here and there, but mostly not make the costly mistake. And Tua has been very good in that sense. He hasn't thrown a pick yet, although he's got a couple of close calls, a couple of lucky breaks that have wiped away interceptions or negated what should have been interceptions. But he's, again, what he's done is not make the mistakes. The potential problem that's going to surface now is the schedule gets a whole lot tougher down the stretch in these final four games, starting Sunday with the Chiefs. And the notion of the defense being able to single-handedly, defense/special teams being able to win the game with the offense doing very little other than not turn the ball over is going to be stretched. So this is the time where Tua and the offense are going to have to start making plays if the Dolphins are going to culminate this playoff push with, indeed, a playoff appearance.
last year when they were 0-7, there was some historically bad numbers for this team. But then they finished 5-11, which was more than what people thought given their struggles in the beginning of the season. When did Brian Flores start producing, or when did the organization started to coming together so that now we have a team that is a threat to win the division?
Well, if you look back even at their 0-7 start, the first four games were historically bad. It was blowout after blowout. And then even over the next three losses, you started seeing signs that this team was actually becoming competitive. They weren't winning, but there was a game against Washington they almost won. They went for a two-point conversion to pull out the win. It came up short. They had a Monday night game against the Steelers where they got off to a 14-0 lead right away. Didn't materialize, but so you saw signs that this team is getting better, even as the talent level remained really, really poor. And let's be honest, the 2019 Dolphins fielded a roster that was subprime, and that's being very, very, very polite. And the ability for them to pull out five wins out of those in their last nine games, including that season finale at New England, kind of told you right there that they're on the right track, and they certainly have the right head coach. And then in the offseason, they had a bunch of cap space. They had a bunch of draft capital and brought in a ton of new players, many of whom are playing key roles, starting with Byron Jones, the former Cowboys cornerback, Emmanuel Ogba, former defensive end, who actually is going to be facing his former team this weekend. He's been lights out as a pass rusher. And what you're seeing is the result that you knew they were going to be better. You knew they're going to be a lot better, that they would find themselves at 8-4 with four games left and holding the sixth spot in the AFC standings. I don't know that anybody would have predicted that, but it was clear heading into 2020 that there was a lot of reason for optimism, and it certainly played out that way.
Let's get to Brian Flores, because one of the things that came out of this weekend was the fight between the Dolphins and the Bengals, and how Brian Flores was sticking up for his guys and players. And then the conversation went, man, everybody on this Dolphins team loves playing for this guy and loves just knowing that the coach has their back. How did he win them over? What's his personality like?
No nonsense. Not much playing around. There will be time for joking, but when it's time to get down to business, you get down to business. Not necessarily a team first guy to the end. If you listen to his press conferences, we ask about individual players who are having good years, and it's extraordinarily rare that you get anything other than Brian Flores starting to talk about everybody on his unit helping contribute to that one player's success. And then always throwing in there, yeah, he's playing well, he's making progress, but he's got room for improvement. It's always, everything is tempered. It's always one game at a time, no big picture talks. It sounds a whole lot like Bill Belichick, what you get out of him from New England. And he talks about the opponents. Every opponent is great. We'll run down every player on the unit. Again, it's very Belichickian in that sense. But the guys absolutely like playing for him. He sticks up for them. And what he did at the end of that Bengals game, walking over to the Cincy sideline after the cheap shots on Jakeem Grant, yeah, that absolutely won him points with his players. Even though he said himself after the game he wished he had kept his composure and his poise better, I think actually it certainly wasn't anything that hurt him or in that sense. If anything, it helped him with the standing with his team, if it wasn't already about as good as it could get.
Alan Cooper.
And I would add one.
Oh, good.
I would add one more thing. If I may, also it also helps that he can mold his team because it's such a young team. There's only one player on this roster who's more than 30 years old, and that's Fitzpatrick. So that helps. So he can create the kind of team that he wants, and you see the product on the field.
Alan Poupart joins us, all Dolphins from Sports Illustrated. Again, thank you for joining us. One last thought on this team. We're not talking about a franchise that has this long playoff drought. I mean, 4 years ago, they lost to the Steelers and went 10-6. But given where this team was a year ago, given what people had been talking about this team, what they were doing a year ago, what would it mean for Flores, for Tua, for even Ryan Fitzpatrick and some other guys on this team to get to the postseason?
it would be a great accomplishment. I'm not sure, though. See, the Dolphins are not going to look big picture. I'm going to look big picture here.
Sure.
Because I think, playoffs or not, the step that they have taken this year and the position that they put themselves in to become a playoff contender year in and year out, because they have a really, really long, really, really young nucleus with some good young players. We've already established the coach absolutely can coach. And if Tua continues to develop and becomes the quarterback they hope that he can be, you have that position settled. I mean, the future is extraordinarily bright for this franchise. As I mentioned before, there are a lot there. They have an 8-4 record, which a lot of years would put you comfortably in a playoff situation right now. Unfortunately, it's a very, very good AFC this year. They do have a really tough ending schedule with KC, New England, Vegas, and Buffalo. So there's no guarantee that they will make the playoffs. But regardless, this has been a tremendous year in terms of taking that next step in what was a rebuilding process. They began in 2019, and we didn't exactly know how long it was going to take. They've accelerated the curve and the rebuilding process this year, big time, regardless of whether they make the playoffs.
Alan, great stuff. Really appreciate your time. Thank you again. We hope to catch up with you soon. Appreciate it.
I would look forward to it. You take care.
You got it. Alan Pupar, again, all Dolphins at Sports Illustrated on our Progressive guest line. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. All right, so with the holidays approaching, hey, you may be wondering, what can I get the sports fan in my life? Or maybe, what could somebody get you as the sports fan? Well, Homefields has got the answer. Go to homefields.com, and you will see some beautiful three-dimensional art pieces of your stadiums of today and yesteryear of your favorite team. Whether you want to go to a stadium that no longer exists, or a new modern stadium or arena, Ken Small has created these beautiful 3D art pieces, and he did it in a way that really brings to life the stadium. They're shot from above. They have this beautiful 3D effect, especially when they're lit, and they're great for your mantle, the office, man cave, wherever. And they make great Christmas gifts as well. So check them out at homefields.com. There's more than 160 stadiums and arenas available. And again, you can go as far back as Ebbets Field. They have that. Again, all lighted, three different sizes to choose from. I have a stadium that no longer exists, Three Rivers, from my youth as a Steeler fan. Ron is Dodgers Stadium. Anthony Pepe is a beautiful Fenway Park home fields on display. Check them out again at homefields.com. They make a great Christmas gift. All right, it is Sports Map Radio. We'll continue. Unpacked a couple of things about the Dolphins' possible playoff run this season coming up next.